Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
You know what makes me happy?
What?
The fact that daylight savings is over, and we're on normal time again.
Yeah, I don't really care which one's the normal. Just stick to one.
No, I want the normal. I want, when I wake up in the morning at 6, I want the sun to be up.
Yeah. What would it be in the summer? What? It'd get dark at 8 instead of 9?
Yeah. Or when at the peak, it'd be 9 instead of 10.
Yeah.
Can we just stick to one time? I love how everyone is like, well, my clock, it'll switch after like 2 weeks, and I'm fine. Dude, it messes me up all summer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, my body knows you're supposed to go to bed at 10 and get up at 6.
Yeah.
And the sun's up.
The funniest is all, like, you'll see videos of, like, dogs the days after daylight savings time, and they're sitting by their bowl. Like, it's time. I know it's time.
Their stomach knows. It has its own clock.
Yeah.
I hate it. It's so dumb to me.
Yeah.
I can't remember what one of the old famous Indians was like, only the U.S. government could cut a foot off the top of the blanket, sew it to the bottom, and then think it has a longer blanket.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're just lazy and don't want to get up in the morning. Get your fucking ass up and get to doing something.
Yep.
I just don't understand it.
I don't get it either. But there's no purpose for it.
Well, it's like, you know, until Sunday, like, I got Layla out, we're getting on the bus and stuff. It's dark out.
Yeah.
Like, this is, what are we doing?
Yeah.
It's dumb.
Well, it'll be dark again.
Stay.
It's light right now, but it'll be dark again.
Yeah, stay. Just keep it on what it is now.
Yeah.
The regular time, please.
Yeah, I wish we could.
No one listens.
What gets really
bad
is like as we schedule appointments and calls digitally with people all over the nation, and it's like some areas don't do daylight savings time. And so like I don't know if you're an hour or 2 hours behind me.
It's dumb.
You know what I mean? It's wild.
It's just dumb.
Yep.
Ugh. At least it's cold out again. It's football weather.
Yeah.
I always say this every time, like half of the season's over and it's just now cold here. Like, yeah, football weather. And you're like, oh shit, we're halfway. It's over. It's done.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then I'll be bitching January 15th. I'll be like, this cold weather sucks.
Yep.
I'm ready for it to get warm.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm just ranting.
I ain't got
nothing today.
Yeah. November, December, not cold. January, February. Cold.
Yeah. February, you know, January, you can usually gut through it. But like by the time February comes around, and it's not really that it's that cold. I mean, it's cold. Don't get me wrong. But it's like there's 4 hours of daylight.
You're
like, come on. Come on, son.
Yeah. Get around here.
Get around.
Yeah.
I don't know how the people do it like in Alaska where it's
dark
light,
all the time.
It's light for 23 hours. And then in the winter, it's dark for 23 hours.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Well,
a psychotic person like me trying to live up there.
There's a reason that population density isn't really all that strong up there.
People just can't handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not actually as cold as a lot of people think it is.
Well,
I mean, there's.
If you're on the coast, it's not.
There's countless times where it's colder in Kansas City than in Alaska.
Yeah.
Just the way the jet stream moves.
Yeah. We get that Arctic blast.
Yeah.
You know what? I say stuff like that when my sister and her husband lived in Minnesota. For his job for like, I don't remember if it was 2 years or just a year or whatever, but like the snow was 5 foot deep.
Yeah. They'll get a lot of precipitation.
And I'd call him and I'd be like, hey, what's going on today? He's like, oh, nothing, just work from the house. I'm like, what's the temperature? Negative 42. Could you imagine being trapped inside because you just can't go outside?
Yeah. Oh, I'm out of propane.
Oh, shit. Yeah. You're fucked.
Ouch.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about today? Anything interesting or just boring stuff?
Now I want to talk about what you do after you've started your business and you realize like all right, we're doing this. We're going to talk about like, what do you do after that? And there's a lot of people that put the precipice of their anticipation on the first day, the first call, the first week, the first month.
Well, and yeah, they act like the giant hill that they are climbing right. is flat once they start their business. And it's like, no, that's like one little molehill of nothingness.
Well, that's the beginning of the climb.
Yeah. There's
right?
the, yeah.
You've made it to the base camp of Mount Everest when you the day you open your business. The day you open your business is not the peak. You didn't summit Mount Everest.
Yeah.
Now, how many people in the world have even made it to the base camp of Everest? Not very many, right? So, like, I'm not trying to diminish from the fact, okay, you did get started, but if that's all you did and that was all you wanted to do, then you're going to go down in history as a loser because you're going to join the masses of people that start their business and never really go anywhere after that.
When you're not diminishing it, it's just people don't understand like how in depth once that part is done,
yeah.
how much more they have to climb. They
right.
just, they have this picture in their brain that, okay, that's the hardest part.
Right.
It's just not reality.
Yeah. I talked to a guy out of LA, ironically, the week after I talked to him yesterday, and this is right after, you know, the Dodgers won the World Series on Saturday.
Yeah. Which was,
that was a wild game.
The whole World Series was wild.
Yeah. But he's hopeful to, LA's got a lot of like one chuck in a truck plumbing companies.
Yes, they do.
And he says, well, there's a lot of competition here in LA. And I'm like, is there or is there not? Well, I'm just having a hard time getting really good rates and all this stuff. And I said, okay, do you have any big dogs in town? Any private equity companies, any companies with, you know, 20, 50 trucks, all that stuff. And he goes, oh yeah. I said, what are they charging for a water heater? He goes, oh, they start at about $3,000. And I said, what are you charging for a water heater? He goes, $1,550. And I'm like, okay, well, like we just discovered, like we just on this call came to the realization that you may be having trouble getting good wages, but the biggest company in town's charging $3,000.
Yeah.
And
we just misproved your misnomer.
Well, it's not proved. It's more or less just like gave him the epiphany. And I do this talk a lot with people when they're starting out their company that, you know, okay, that big company in town, I think he called them Diamond or something like that. But, he was like, yeah, they're, you know, they've got, you know, 30, 40 trucks, they're a big company and they advertise on the TV and the radio and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, cool. I said, how experienced do you think their plumbers are? And he was like, oh, I don't know. Probably, I don't know, 5-10 years maybe. And I'm like, hey, you don't get 30 to 40 trucks. Like, they don't have all the experienced plumbers in your town.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to 30 or 40 trucks and all of your team has over 5 years of experience. Like, you only get to that big because you've built your process around bringing guys in with a few days or weeks of experience and training them how to do the task. I said, I'd be willing to bet that the average experience level amongst that company is probably 2 to 3.
Yeah, I'd guess
3 years maybe. And maybe an average of 3, which means some of them are going to have far less and some of them are going to have far more.
Yeah.
But I said, how much experience do you have? And he said something about like 25 or 28 years or something like that, or maybe even 30 years.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so why would a customer be hesitant to spend $3,000 to have you install a water heater compared to the big company in town where they're going to have some guy with likely less than 3 years of experience doing it? Like if you've got 30 years and they've got 3, you've got 10 times the experience. Like why would you struggle to get $3,000 for the water heater? Like if anything, you should be able to charge more. And he was like, well, I've never really thought of it that way. And he said another thing about like getting work off Facebook groups and all this stuff. And there's a lot of bottom of the barrel people and all this. And I said, well, are you trying to win every client? Oh, yeah. I said, well, there's another problem. I said, you don't want to win every client. Not every client's your client. When that person goes on the Facebook group and posts, I need the cheapest plumber you can get, money's tight, and blah, 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 that's not your client.
Why would you even respond to that?
Yeah, you don't want that guy. I want a plumber that's not going to break the bank or not cost an arm and a leg. Okay, don't respond to those either.
Yeah.
Like, when you outbid your competition, you stole the cheapest client they have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, like, the goal is not to outbid. The goal is not to underprice the competition. The goal is to sell the same work for more money than the competition.
Yeah.
That's the goal. That's literally the goal. That'd be like going into a football game and saying, we're going to score less points than you.
And we're going to win. No, you're not.
No, that's not a win.
That's called a loss.
Right. And so, like, the goal is literally to get the same money as the other people in town while keeping your expenses lower, or to charge more than the other companies in town and match their expenses, or both. Charge more than the other companies in town and keep your expenses lower. That's business, right?
Yeah.
The goal in business is not to be highly revered amongst every individual in your neighborhood. The goal in business is not to be highly respected by every potential customer out there. If you're doing business wrong, you will have every single individual's respect. But if you're doing business right, you will have a group of people, and it's a large group of people, that says, you're too expensive. Good. I want to be too expensive for some of the people out there.
I don't want it to be a large group, but I'd like it to be a fair amount.
Well,
you know what I mean?
So keep in mind, if you're in this demographic of, like, okay, you just started your company, you're a couple months old or whatever, it is a large amount of people. So this kind of teeters over into, you got a guy that's a one truck operation and he hires a marketing agency for $5,000 a month. And he's thinking that with $5,000 a month, he's going to get all the clients in town. There's no friggin' way.
No.
He's battling other companies that are spending $50,000 to $100,000 a month on marketing, right? Now.
Well, and not to mention the fact that you don't have to do that if you're just trying to stay busy on your own.
Correct. Yeah. But what I'm getting at is you don't want all of the plumbing company or all the plumbing customers in your area. You can't support that. You don't have enough trucks. You don't have enough people. You don't have enough systems. You don't have enough processes. You just want more calls than you ran last week. More calls than you ran last month.
Yeah.
That's all. That's literally what you want.
And you want high tickets.
Yeah. Right. And so there's a lot of people out there that think they want every client under the sun. And it shows with how they behave. And so eventually, this guy, great hearted guy. And I have a feeling a lot of guys in the trades are this way. They lead with their heart too much and not with their mind.
Oh, 100% agree with that.
This guy's a one truck operation. He's been in business for 3 years and he is still working out of a pickup truck, not out of like a service van.
Okay. Does he just do home plumbing service?
Yes.
Okay.
He's
not digging up sewers. He's not
doing
new construction.
He is doing some sewers in partnership with somebody else.
Okay.
Yeah. But he was like, yeah, eventually I'm going to get, you know, a truck, like a van, and get it wrapped real nice and everything else. And I'm like, what do you mean eventually? Like, this is not some...
Well, and I'm guessing, I mean, you told me he's been in for 25 years. If he started at 20, he's 45.
Yeah. He's,
you know what I mean? So, like, eventually you're going to run out of time, dog.
Yeah,
like,
he's going to be 40 to 50, I'm sure.
Let's get going, man.
But he's been in business 3 years, and his truck is still not a... It doesn't represent his company. And I said, okay, so basically we started diving into, like, what keeps you from charging the rates of the big shop in town? And he goes, well, I'm not on the radio. And I'm like, it doesn't matter if you're on the radio. Like,
we're going to have this talk again.
Your ad presence does not equate to what customers are willing to pay. Now, your brand imagery does equate to that, right? But I don't run radio ads. I don't need to run radio ads to charge what we charge, right?
People seem to undervalue themselves and the work yes. they perform at an alarming clip. I didn't, when we started TradeWinds and all that, I never imagined so many people would come to us with pricing objections, as in, don't want to raise their rates enough.
I can't charge that. I can't do that to
I
my
don't
customers.
Understand it. Like, yeah. I never dealt with this.
Yep.
Like, when I was on my own, I charged the same as everyone else.
Yep.
And then I, to what you were saying earlier, when someone would say, well, you're not a big company and you're not this and you're not that. And I'm like, no, but I've been doing this for 15 years on my own. If you call them and they charge you the same and that kid has 2 years of experience, which person would you rather go with? Like, that right. was my go-to
yeah.
comment and conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I ever went to that conversation, I always got the job.
Yeah.
Because we were obviously having a very healthy back and forth, you know, over a usually a bigger job. But it's like, how do you not value the experience you have, the work you do, and the amount of time you put into working for other people?
Right.
And I don't mean other people as in businesses. I mean customers. Like, I just don't understand how people overlook that
right.
so often when
well,
they start out.
And also, a lot of tradespeople think overhead determines price. And that could not be farther from the truth.
It can
overhead is factored into your price. Like, your price has to cover your overhead. But
yes.
if overhead determined price, then Teslas would be the most expensive car on the planet without question. Because I guarantee you, Tesla's overhead is significantly higher than Ferrari's.
Their R&D is probably pretty insane.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? And so overhead does not determine price. Value determines price. Perceived and real, that both perceived value and real value determine price. And so what I mean is, if overhead determined price, then Home Depot would charge $1 million for a water heater installation.
Yeah, because I see him 15 times on a freaking football NFL commercial.
Right.
Football NFL.
Value determines price.
Yes.
And so where we get to that is the value of that Ferrari, right? They are limited in nature. You have to be on a list to buy them. You can't even buy, like, I could not go buy any Ferrari I wanted, right? Some Ferraris,
yeah,
you have to show proof of prior ownership to get a certain model of Ferrari. In other words, you can only buy this model if you've owned this model in the past.
A new one.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anybody can buy a used one.
Correct.
Yeah.
But even when you buy them used, you are still subject to Ferrari's attorneys. Ferrari protects their brand very well, and if you grossly modify a Ferrari against the brand standards of Ferrari, they'll sue you.
Yeah. And they've, like, in the U.S., they've lost a lot of those.
They've lost a lot of them, yeah. But and it's not about the win or the loss. It's about how well they protect their brand.
Yeah.
Okay. In other words, they don't ever say, like, we could sue you for that. They sue you for it. Now, yeah. They may lose.
Yeah.
But the guy who says I could sue you versus the guy who actually does sue you.
Yeah.
He's a lot more serious about protecting the brand, right? And so, the more I got to talking with this guy, I realized that this was probably a great topic for a show. There's a lot of people out there that don't realize that once you're on your own, you've started your business, you've made it to the base camp of Everest, the sky is yours. Like, it's literally a choose your own adventure book, and you get to chart your path. And do you want a path of easy, or do you want a path of wildly successful? Because those two don't mix, right? You can take the easy, comfortable path, and that's going to be, you know, calls come in as they come in. We don't really do anything to affect our phone ringing, but we just hope it rings. And when it doesn't ring, we're all doom and gloom and we act like we want it to ring, but we really don't want it to ring. Because if it rings too much, then I got to hire somebody and that's a whole nother problem, you know, and all this stuff, right? So that's the easy path. The easy path is just taking what life is naturally going to deliver your way anyway.
Yeah.
The hard path in business is to set very intentional goals and very intentional outcomes and then stop at nothing to achieve those goals. And if you fall short on the goal, you never lower the goal. You just extend the timeline. So, like, we've got some guys in Tradewinds that are hoping to get their million-dollar year this year, and they're close.
We got a lot of guys that are going to be really close this year.
Yeah. And
super proud of them.
And if they don't get it, it's not like they fold up shop and say, well, that was a good run. I guess I'm going to work for somebody else.
Yeah.
No, the goal was to do $1 million year this year. They don't give up on the goal.
Yeah.
They say, okay, next year. We extend the timeline.
Yeah.
Right?
What can I do differently?
And for me, I broke it down even further. I went, so we had $1 million year before we ever had $1 million year. And what I mean by that is I would also do a rolling 12 months of revenue.
Yeah.
And so basically, if you start doing $83,300 every month, $83,333 every month.
And 33 cents. Don't forget the 33 cents.
If you do that every month, you'll have $1 million year. Well, we were, our first full year in business, we did like $779 in revenue. Okay. But by month 4 or 5 of the next year, if you would have totaled all of our sales over the last 12 months,
yeah,
we had already done
March,
$1 million
yeah,
year.
Yeah, April to April, something
right.
like that.
It's like a fiscal thing, right? Instead yeah. of a calendar. Now, we still run on our calendar and fiscal match, but in other words, I was so in pursuit of the $1 million year that I was looking for any signs of progress. I wasn't just saying in January, February, March, and July, like, I hope we do $1 million this year, and I'm not even tracking it. Well, what are your sales so far? I don't know, right? It's kind of hard to say, like, I want a $1 million year, and then when you ask somebody, what are your sales, and they're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, how would you even know if you got $1 million year, right?
I know. Drives me insane.
And then so the number one thing in business ownership is, what are you going to do to get it? Right? You say you want something. What are you going to do to get it? And if hope is your solution, you're fucked.
You buying some hopium?
Yeah. Yeah.
You said that to me the other day. I laughed hard.
That was Travis in Tradewinds.
Was it Travis yeah. that said hopium?
He gave
oh,
us
we were talking about marketers. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, we were talking about marketers, and they sell you hopium, and it's the best drug ever.
Yeah. I want to go back just a little ways before we get too far away. You know, you were saying, and I agree with this, you were saying, you know, people that take the just nonchalant path, that is the easier path. And then the dedicated, these are my goals, this is my path, that's the harder. I don't know if it's necessarily that way. I think the harder path, and I think people realize this later, is the sitting on your hands doing nothing. You're
yep.
you're worried about payroll. You're worried about calls. You know, you're getting fat because of the so much stress. You know, I think that is the harder part
yes.
than having a determined goal, having, you know, things set aside to help you reach those goals, having processes in place to help you get more calls. To be honest, yes, it's a little more work up front, but I think that's the easier path.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it seems like when you go through the motions, like you were saying, and, oh, well, I hope the phone starts ringing more and, you know, this and that, that's more stressful to me. That's quote unquote harder for me to,
right.
you know, suck in, because it's just, you don't know what's going to happen. You have no way to determine what the next 2 months are going to look like because you're not engaged. You're not grabbing life by the balls, as they say, and making things happen.
Right.
That seems harder to me.
Yeah. And you'll get people that are running blind because they don't realize the circle of influence. Circle of influence, like draw a circle.
Okay, I'm going to draw a circle.
Everything inside that circle are things you control. Okay?
Okay.
Everything outside of that circle are things you have zero control over. None.
This is a good exercise for me.
Okay. So, weather. You don't control the weather.
Nope.
Recessions. You don't control that.
Nope.
Pandemics. Don't control that.
Nah. You don't.
Well,
somebody may have.
Well, and somebody may be controlling the weather, too. I'm saying you don't, right?
I'm just kidding, man.
Plumbing code or your trade, the code for your trade. You don't control that.
God, or the shit inspector in one town.
Right, right. Unruly inspectors. You don't control that.
That fucker was the worst for a while. Fuck that dude.
But everything in the circle are things you control. You control your pricing. You control how well you stock your van. You control what your van looks like.
Yeah.
You control how you speak to customers. You control how professional you look online, right?
Yeah.
So what's funny is like I'll watch these community pages. And I've done this long enough now where you see the small rinky-dink shops that are always and will ever forever be a small rinky-dink disorganized shop, right? And you'll see somebody, you know, oh, I need a plumber. Who do you recommend? And you see these people reaching their hands up like, call me, call me, call me. And it'll say like, I am local plumber. I can help.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Does that sound professional?
Yeah. And it's not that they're stupid. It's that they didn't take the time
exactly
to think out their response. Like, dude, what, when someone sees that, do you think that they're going to respond to you?
Right.
No, they're going to read that and go, this guy's a fucking retard.
You didn't even care to put punctuation in your phone number.
Yeah.
You just slammed 9 digits together.
I don't get it either. Attention right. to detail.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Right. And you'll see other comments saying like, small owned company, call us. What does small owned even mean? Like, I get what you're trying to say. You're a small locally owned company. But like, polish it up. Analyze yourself, right? Judge yourself constantly for how you look, right?
Yeah.
And some people would try to say this is fake it until you make it. This isn't faking it.
No, it's called having fucking respect for yourself.
It's having standards, yeah. right? And so, like, if you make a post and you find a typo in it and you just let it ride, that's a sign of your standards. If you make a post and you find a typo in it and you go back and edit the post to correct the typo, because accidents happen, right? That's a sign of your standards as well, yeah. right? You'll see this way more often than I would like to admit. You know, guys forget what's inside that circle of influence. They forget that they are in control of call volume. And that's probably the biggest one to grasp. And
yes,
the reason I'll say that is because they'll be like, well, I'll never get as many calls as that big guy in town. Do you think they got that many calls from day one? Do you think like literally day one, they opened up their shop and boom, there's 100 trucks and boom, there's a 140,000 square foot warehouse and boom, there's radio ads and all that? No, they started small. They focused on what was in their control. They measured results and they moved forward, right? And they constantly held themselves accountable to standards they set for themselves. And then they held their standards accountable. Is this a good standard? Did we set too easy of a standard to achieve?
Constantly evaluate, man.
Right? Yeah. So another, and what I mean by, okay, like let me give you an example of a standard that's too easy to achieve. If you're telling your customer I'll be there sometime on Tuesday.
Dude.
that's a standard. I'll be there sometime on Tuesday. But you're not even giving yourself any kind of a challenge. And look at the experience you're putting your customer under. Now they have to go all day on Tuesday wondering when you're going to show up. Whereas if you give them a smaller, like, hell, a half a day, I'll be there Tuesday morning, is better than sometime on Tuesday.
Yeah. And you know what? The shittiest companies in the world can do that. DirecTV.
Yes. Your cable
AT&T.
Guy.
AT&T.
Right.
I mean, they can do that.
Right.
Like, you can't even do that.
Right. And so if you're in control of all of those things, the more you realize you're in control of, the more success you'll have in business. It's just, I think a lot of these guys start their company and they don't realize how much they're in control. And so what I mean by this is, like, guys will say, well, I really want to wrap my truck and make it nice and pretty and all of that, but I just don't have the money for it. And they'll say, like, well, I'm just not getting very good calls, and these customers are pushing back on calls and pushing back on pricing and all this. And they've literally, because, I mean, I'm going to call it for what it is. It's laziness. You're too lazy. Yeah, look at that. You just wrote it down.
I did.
Yeah. You're too lazy to take the initiative and go, what would a truck wrap cost? How can I afford that? Right. And that's another big nugget from this podcast, and a big rule to take away is, get the words "I can't afford that" out of your vocabulary. Never say that again, ever. Never, ever say "I can't afford it." What you say instead is, "How can I afford that?" And then if the how is unattainable, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so let me just say this.
I like this. This is good.
I've sold my plumbing company. We've, you know, paid off some things, and we're trying to decide what we want to do with the money and everything else. I'm getting ready to make a sizable investment into something that should provide me a 5 to 10x return over the next 3 years. But it's an investment. There's no guarantees, right? And so, but I want to buy a muscle car. I've got this urge to go get an old 65 to 69 Mustang again.
Dude, I saw
again.
A 69 Fastback the other day.
Yeah.
It was badged as a 500.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't.
Yeah, a clone. Yep.
But it looked nice.
Yeah.
It looked good.
I think I'm going to go 64, 5, or 6 Fastback is really what I want. I love
66 Fastback.
Yeah.
What was your dad's orange car?
They have 65.
65 Fastback. That was a good looking
and
car.
And mine was a 65 coupe, and he had a 65 or 64 and a half convertible.
The coupes are, no offense, they're so ugly.
The coupes are cheap, but they're...
Didn't we just talk about price?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly it, yeah. Right? And so that's why I'm talking about this. As I'm rolling through all of this, I can go get a really good condition 6-cylinder coupe for like $11,000. But that's not what I want. I want a nice V8 dual exhaust manual transmission fastback.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I start looking at what's out there.
I know you love green.
Yeah, I know. I start looking at what's out there, and now you're talking $40,000 to $70,000.
You can get a really nice fastback for $45,000 or $50,000.
Yes.
A really nice car.
And so it's like, okay, with the proceeds from the sale of the business, like, this is a toy. I'm not financing this, right? I'll finance new cars, my driving cars, but yeah. I don't finance toys.
No. And I don't want to give us off track, but
I take that, like, I did finance my boat, but it's $250,000 boat. Like, you do finance
first off,
that.
You're an idiot. Second, yeah, you don't have that kind of cash. And third, classic cars, I don't like. I consider them toys. Yes, we have one; it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But I also consider it an investment.
Yes,
that thing. If I take care of that car, it's not going to go down in value.
Correct.
I could turn around and sell it and make $5,000 on it probably right now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So, okay.
Yeah. And I'm not saying I absolutely refuse.
Is that the investment too, or is that
different? No.
Okay, are we gonna talk about this on the show or after?
After.
You didn't hit me up for if I wanted to be a part of it.
Well, you might be able to now.
Okay. All right. Keep on rolling, sir. Continue on.
The you I know as I'm looking for all of this, This is a great parallel because you have desires in business as well, right?
And yeah, so I like where this is going.
Here's a desire for a classic car, and I could concede and say, well, I could get this six-cylinder coupe. It's in great shape, but it doesn't have the V8. It's an automatic, so it doesn't feel right when you drive it because I grew up on a manual transmission 65 Mustang, so I want the stick shift.
Sometimes it's not the speed, it's the feel.
It's the feel, yeah, right? I want the clunk, the crunch, yeah, or the, not the crunch, but the click into the gears, yeah, and the notchiness of the shifter and the clutch pedal and the ability to just dump the clutch whenever I want and all of that stuff, right?
Smell that gasoline because it's carbureted. Ah,
and
yes.
So, you know, as I'm looking at all of these, and then my desires start to change, like, well, I could do, like, I've always had a fascination with Eleanor from Gone in 60 Seconds. So, like, I could spend more and I could get an Eleanor, but now we're talking 80 to 100 for a really good one, right?
Or you could build your own clone, yeah.
Yeah, or yeah, but that's what I mean. The clones are still 80 or 100.
Are they really?
Yeah. And so never once have I done all of this and said, I can't afford that. I'm looking at these and I'm saying, how can I afford that? Yeah, I could go buy that. In South Carolina, there is a very clean, very, very clean coupe with a six-cylinder and an automatic transmission. And it's like $11,000.
And you know, it's like, I could fly in Tradewinds in the Carolinas, could go down and
there and drive that thing home from the Carolinas and be no issue.
Yeah, but I had mine shipped to the house.
That would not satisfy my desires. I'm conceding, right? And so then it comes down to, okay, if I want the $40,000 to $60,000 fastback, how can I afford that? Well, it probably pushes the timeline back a little bit because I need to make this other significant investment. It's about a $50,000 investment. I need to make this $50,000 investment. So I'm like, I don't want to take my car money, or I don't want to take that investment money and turn it into car money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, all right, well, let's make this investment and then wait for that to pay off. And when that pays off, maybe my reward will be the classic car, right? And so the thought process is, how can I? Not, I can't afford that, right? Yeah. And if it pays off well enough, maybe I get the Eleanor, right?
I think you're spot on. I think a lot of people just, they immediately think, I can't.
Yes.
Or it won't happen for me.
Yes.
And, you know, we talk about it a lot on this show. We talk a lot about it in Tradewinds is, you know, vision for your business. But vision for your life and what your desires are and what you want is just as important. Now, if you set those standards really high, like you want an Eleanor, I've changed mine from Ferrari, I really want a McLaren, you know. But if I don't get it, that doesn't mean I was wrong in trying to get it. It was, I wanted it, I thought about how I could make it happen, and I just couldn't make it happen.
Right.
You know what I mean? But you should always, to your point, be trying to make it happen, whether it's in business, whether it's in life, whether it's in your physical health, whether it's in, you know, how successful your kids are. You know, people with their kids are like, well, they're going to school, they're fine, they're this and that. That ain't enough. Do you want them to be go-getters or not?
Right.
Like, how much time are you, of your own, are you willing to sacrifice to help them get to a successful position, regardless of what that position is?
Right.
It's all about, am I doing everything I can to put myself in a situation to win?
Right.
Now, the goal may be different. The win may be different from person to person, but am I giving it everything I have? Am I taking everything that I can control inside of my circle and doing the best with it that I possibly can do?
Yeah.
Am I giving it my all?
Right.
And to your point, it's the same reason I wrote down lazy. I think a lot of times it's two things. People either don't understand what they can control,
mm-hmm,
or they are just fucking lazy.
Yeah.
They'd rather sit on the couch and do nothing and watch fucking Netflix.
Yep.
Than go hit up local businesses in their area that they can do refrigeration work for. Like, that was one of the main things that I did in HVAC. Every restaurant, I know I'm getting a little off track here, every restaurant can't get an HVAC guy to work on their refrigeration when they need it.
Yeah.
Where the guy they got is, like you said, working out of a pickup truck. Now, I say that. I worked out of a pickup truck. But, like, they can't get the guy to show up. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
All I had to do was walk into those businesses during the day, either right after lunch rush or right before lunch rush, and say, hey, if you need somebody, I'm here.
Yeah.
I bet you I had a 75% callback rate on the restaurants I went into that weren't big franchises like mm-hmm. a 5-4 because they have,
you know, corporate contracts and
stuff
different.
Like that they have to go through. But any small mom and pop place, any independently owned gas station.
Yeah.
Dude, I was getting those calls 75 to 80% of the time.
Yeah.
Because I just went in there.
It's all about what are you willing to do to achieve the results you claim you want.
Claim you want.
And,
that's good.
And that's, I specifically said claim because there's a lot of people that say they want results because they think that's what others want to hear, but they don't actually want the results.
No, they want the results, but they don't want to do what it takes to get those results. They think that I can just start my business and I'm going to get those results. No.
Which means they don't want them. Yeah. They thought that they wanted the results, but they didn't want to put in the work to get them.
Well, it's back to the base camp thing.
Yeah.
I know what it takes to get to the base camp.
Yeah.
And then they get to the base camp and they look up and they're like, oh, fuck. Right. What I want is actually up there.
Yeah.
Shit. And your perspective has to shift.
Right.
Like, I'm going to have to work for this.
And there's a lot of people that think growth is linear. Growth is the stock market, right? One day you're way up, the next day you're way down, the next day you're way up, the next day you're way down. But if you plot it over a month, or you plot it over a year, or you plot it over 5 years or 10 years, you are typically higher on the far end of the plot than you were when you started. But there's a lot of people that will take one thing, one surprise, one unexpected hurdle, yeah. one setback.
Use it as an excuse.
And they will use it as an excuse,
yeah.
right? And so, for instance, if my goal was to climb Everest and I wanted to summit Everest 3 weeks after I arrived at base camp, okay?
You can't do that, I don't think.
I don't know. I don't know the rules.
No,
there.
I'm just saying you have to
There's some acclimations,
to the climate.
Right.
You have to go to the next one and acclimate. Like,
yeah.
It's a process.
Yeah, but like, let's just say I wanted to do that. And then I'm halfway between two camps and one of my oxygen valves malfunctions and I lose all my oxygen. Am I done? Or am I searching for ways to get it done even though I was not prepared for this unexpected hurdle?
Yeah. Do you sit down and die?
Right.
Or do you start getting on the walkie going, hey,
yeah,
I'm in trouble.
Right. And I've always envisioned success like a funnel. And you're looking down the funnel.
Wait
okay?
a second. I'm looking down the funnel and it's getting wider or it's getting narrower?
It's getting narrower.
Okay.
Okay? So I'm looking down a funnel. And as I'm trying to get from the big end of the funnel to the tiny end of the funnel is my boundaries. Okay? And so as I'm getting there, I'm going to be way off to this side, and then I hit the wall of the funnel, and then it shoots me way off to this side. And then I hit that wall of the funnel, and it shoots me back. But every time I progress farther down the funnel, my lane gets narrower. In other words, my vision gets more focused. And what I thought was going to be success turned out it was a dead end. And so I had to turn around and travel this way. Each time I turn around, though, I'm still traveling forward. I'm not turning around and going backwards.
Yeah.
Okay? So and so like picture like a bowling ball going down the lanes. Business, you have the bumpers up. And there's a lot of guys.
That's a great analogy.
There's a lot of guys that think it's a failure that they touched a bumper.
No.
No, the ball still hit the pins.
Yeah.
Did you get all the pins down? No. But did you give up? No.
Well, this,
And so business has bumpers, but a lot of people think that if you touch the bumper, you might as well have gone in the gutter.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the professional bowlers, they'll hang that ball over the edge of the gutter, you know, that would have hit the bumper if the bumper was there, but now a third of that ball's hanging over into the gutter as they're curving that ball around to get their strike, right? And so there's a lot more room in business than you think there is for success, but it takes diligent thought and diligent execution, right? Yeah.
I've always thought of success as time plus effort equals success. There is nothing you can do if you don't have time.
Yes.
There is nothing you can't do if you put forth effort. And like your stock market analogy is great. That line's going up. Say you're climbing that line, and it's steep, and it sucks, and now you're going downhill, and you're like, oh, I've lost all my progress. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You're just at the bottom. Just move back up.
Yeah.
Start climbing again. And then when you look back, you can see how far you've come.
Yeah.
Like you have, just because you went down here and you went down here and you went down here doesn't mean it's over.
Yeah.
Time will correct that mistake.
Yeah.
Time and effort always, almost always equal success. It does. This is why complete morons make an F ton of money, because they put,
they're stubborn,
a ton of effort in, and they put a ton of time in.
They're too stubborn to quit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know some guys that I wouldn't trust with a snap gun, and those guys are worth millions of dollars because
yep.
they just gave it everything they had, and over a long enough period of time, they got there.
Yeah.
Like there is, we've talked about this a ton of times. This is America.
Yeah.
Effort and time. That's all it takes.
That's all it takes.
To be successful.
The, I want to shout out to Field Pulse here real quick, and then I've got something else to bring up too.
Okay.
So Field Pulse is the field service management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. Advanced features for your CRM, estimates and invoices, scheduling and dispatching, good, better, and best proposals, maintenance plans. It'll do your price book, and it'll support the Tradewinds price book as well. Plus, Field Pulse integrates with the software you're already using every day, like QuickBooks Online, your desktop calendar, and so forth. So you can hit the ground running without changing everything about how you do work. By simplifying your day-to-day operations, Field Pulse saves you time, keeps your team organized, and gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability. It's not just us saying this either. Field Pulse has earned a 4.8-star rating across over 600 reviews on Google. To learn more, head over to fieldpulse.com. That's FieldPulse.com.
Field Pulse.
Field Pulse. Da-da-da-da. So on the effort thing. So like I'm not going to say this guy's name. Nobody knows except this guy. But this guy that I was on the phone with this last week. He's talking about like, "Oh, I've wanted a wrap truck forever." Well, I'm like, "Do you even know what a truck wrap costs?" I don't know. Well, how can you want something that you don't know what it costs? Right?
Man, and there are a lot of, I'm sensing a lot of laziness.
So whenever we say this is lazy, this we're not saying.
I mean, how do you not make the time to call and see how much it is, or Google it on your phone in 5 minutes?
Right.
That's the part I mean lazy.
And so it's I would say it's more of lying to yourself than it is lazy.
Or
you say you want a wrap, but you haven't even priced what they cost.
And so
you don't really want one. You're just telling me that because you think that's what I want to hear.
Or building an excuse for yourself.
Yeah.
I could see that too.
Right. And
maybe
now
lazy,
that
though.
Comes off as lazy.
Yeah, maybe it's not lazy. Maybe it is just building in excuses.
Yeah.
And we talked about this, I think it was last week or the week before. You know, a lot of guys just being scared.
Yeah.
And so they won't, you know, look up what it costs.
They'll search for excuses after that.
Yeah.
Imagine being at Camp 3 at Everest. And, all right, we're making a plan for the summit. And you're watching the weather. And it looks like you're going to have a weather window. And it's great. And then all of a sudden, you start trekking out. And the weather changes. And you're seeing the change happening. You're already prepared. Some guys are already preparing for that to be their excuse on why they didn't summit it. Other guys are going, okay, well, I may have to not sleep tonight and rush through to get to this next point. Otherwise, I'm going to miss my weather window, right? That's a guy who's using the information and getting rid of excuses. Whereas other guys are automatically using the weather as the excuse.
Yeah.
Right? It's no different than the guy who leaves for work at 8:01, stops and gets a coffee, and then shows up to work at 8:15, and the boss asks why you're late, and you're like, "Well, traffic was crazy."
And you're holding a Starbucks like
yeah.
a douche.
Yeah. Or you get caught by the one, like you left late, and you get caught by the one light.
Yeah, the train got me.
The train got me.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, you weren't even going to make it in time even if the train didn't get you, but you were just searching for that excuse,
yeah.
Right? And so, you know, in this guy's perspective, I left him with the analogy. So this guy hopes to one day be able to afford the Tradewinds price book. It's $250, right?
It's $299.
Yeah, $299.
Dude, $300?
Right.
He's probably spent more than that on three steak dinners.
Right.
In the last month.
He lives in L.A. I guarantee you he has.
Oh, fuck.
Right.
I forgot you said California.
And so, like, I mean, if we have a full-fledged up-and-running business and we can't spend $300 on something that will make us more money, we have a lot of problems, right? Now, and I'm not bagging on the guy. This is why we have Tradewinds.
I was just about to say, it's not that you are down on this guy.
No.
It's just these are the problems that we see. First off, you and I haven't talked about this guy at all. I hope he gets the fucking price book, and I hope he's successful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, dude, he's put in the hard work already. Like, let's go.
Right, right.
Like, come on. You got that much experience.
And so, like, the reason I'm exploiting this guy's story is because I have a feeling a lot of our listeners are exactly like this guy. They're on the one-day bench.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, have you ever seen me have photos on my boat? You ever notice the hat that I wear when I'm on my boat? I wear the same hat every time. Well, I wore a Gulf of America hat for a little while.
I'm trying to decide if I'm going to crush you or not. Yes, I see you on the stupid boat. It's on my feed 24/7 okay. When you go out. Frankly, I'm tired of seeing you without your shirt on.
So I have a hat that says one day.
Yeah.
And he's a buddy of mine. He lives a block away. Started a little apparel company for all the guys that have a dream. And that want to eventually turn one day into today, right? So it's like an inspirational apparel company called One Day Co.
I don't like it.
Okay. Well, is what it is.
Yeah.
But
I meant the name. I just
he came out with that apparel at the time I was one day going to buy a boat. And so I bought the hat. And now that hat became my boat hat.
Because you reached your one day.
Because one day I'm going to buy a boat. And guess what? I'm on it.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing the hat, right?
Yeah.
And so, again, it was one of those things of like, I never told myself I can't afford that. It was, how can I afford that?
Yeah. Right? How bad do I want it?
Right. What would it take for me to afford that?
Yeah.
How much would I have to grow the business? How much would I have to sacrifice? How much time would I have to sacrifice to even enjoy the boat? Right?
Yeah.
And all, like, there's a lot of people that want to go buy a vacation house. And their vision stops at being able to afford the house. And then they can't ever afford to take time and go enjoy the house.
Yeah.
Because they're too busy working to pay for the house.
Dude, the fishing boat is the thing. Like, how many times do you see guys buy a brand new boat or a really nice boat? And they're like, well, I just don't have the time to go.
Right.
It's like, really?
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude.
Yeah. And you know, I see it all the time in the wakeboat side of things. You'll see four-year-old boats with 100 hours on them. You've put 25, like, it's easy to put 5 hours on a boat in a day.
Oh, easy.
Because the hour counter is only, it doesn't, like, when you're just on but not running, the hours is only the engine runtime.
Yeah.
So if you're coved out and partying and swimming and floating and drinking and everything else, like, you're not adding hours to the boat. So you can spend 10 hours on your boat one day and only put 5 hours on the clock. You're telling me these guys have only enjoyed their boat, like, 5 days a year?
20 days.
Well,
oh, you said 4 days. You said 4 years. I'm sorry.
Yeah, 100
hours. I was
hours,
thinking 1 year.
No, 100 hours in
4 years.
Four years.
Pretty shitty.
Like, you've spent 20 days on your boat in 4 years.
Oh.
Like, holy cow.
Dude, sometimes I do that in a week.
I know. And again, I'm not faulting you, right? If you bought it and didn't have the time or whatever,
it's
just crazy.
Yeah.
But, like, the ability to reverse engineer your wants into how can I afford that is insane. And if you develop the skill set to do that, you will be farther ahead than everybody around you. The way that I do that, the way that I did that in my company, is I envisioned my company like a three-legged stool. One leg is the company, one leg is the customers, and one leg is the employees. If I chop off any one of those three legs, everything crumbles.
Yeah.
Okay? The business collapses at that point.
Yeah.
And so I can't do, like, so anything that we do in business has to serve all three legs. I can't do an initiative that only serves the customers and doesn't benefit the company or its employees in any way. The stool would tip over. I can't do something that would sacrifice the company but is great for the employees and great for the customers. The stool would tip over. In other words, like lower my prices and increase what I pay my guys.
Yeah, no, I got you. Yeah. I followed.
I can't do anything that would only support the employees but is a detriment to the customers and the business. That would be like being very malicious with how I pay the guys. I've worked at places where guys would want to quit and they'd hold some leverage ransom amount over the, like, you either give me 10 grand or I'm walking. And the business would pay it just to keep the guy on staff. Well, now you've just pumped up the one employee leg at the sacrifice of the business and its customers, because that guy doesn't give a shit about your customers.
No.
Right?
Well, maybe he does. He just hates the business, but still it's...
Right. It's well, true. And even if it only supports...
True, yeah.
Yeah, even if it only supports two of those three legs, the stool still tips over.
If TradeWinds doesn't give me a bonus, I'm leaving.
But the three-legged stool analogy will really challenge, like the moment you're saying, like, how can I afford that? Go to the three-legged stool analogy and say, what can I do that better serves my business, my employees, and my customers that will increase the height of my stool?
Okay? Well, people...
We're building a tall stool is what we're trying to do.
The thing I think that, like, the guy in California and what a lot of our guys do is they're like, well, I can't raise my price because that doesn't benefit my customer. Yes, it does.
Yeah, it way benefit.
If you can hire more employees, you can serve more customers. If you can get more money, you can hire better employees that provide your customers better service.
Right.
You know what I mean? All of that. There seems to be some kind of misnomer that if I charge people too much money, I'm taking advantage of my customers.
Well, does that misnomer come from? Let's dissect that for a minute.
Well, if you're price gouging, that's one thing. You know what I mean? But if you're not price gouging,
I would say price gouge.
And if you're at the height of your market, there is nothing wrong with being the most expensive person in your market. People confuse being the most expensive with price gouging, and by price gouging, I mean they think price gouging is, I went to Little Miss Susie Smith down the road and I charged her $7,500 for a water heater because I knew I could get away with it.
Right.
When I say price gouging, that's what I mean.
Price gouging is a term that's used by pussies that can't understand value.
Yes.
Okay? And often it's thrown around by shitty customers, right? But like...
Well, they're not using it to its truth. They're thinking price gouging is, well, you charged me $3,500 for a water heater, and this guy was going to charge me $33. They say that's price gouging.
Right, right.
That's just not true.
Right, right. They think that there's some universal nationwide standard for what plumbers charge, and if you're above that standard, you're gouging.
Well, the problem is they set their own standard, and if you're above that standard, you're price gouging.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just got an email on my phone that I forwarded off to my manager where we replaced two hydrants, two hose bibs for a guy. The total bill was $1,200, and the guy's upset.
Jets cut sheetrock?
I don't know. Okay. But we present all pricing before any work was done, and so...
I was curious what the job entailed.
Who knows? But, like, we present all pricing before any work was done, and he's like, those hose bibs are only $50 at Home Depot. You're right.
Maybe you should have went and fucking bought one.
You know what happens
that's why
to...
I don't get along with people well anymore.
Yeah, you know what happens if you take a 1980s car and you put it in park while you're on the highway, traveling 70 miles an hour?
Transmission falls out.
You shear that little park pin out of there and you lost park, right? I bet that park pin is like $5.
Yeah.
But do you know what it costs to get that pin installed in the transmission?
Oh, man.
It's a fuck ton more than $5.
I don't want to get off topic, but I pulled that transmission on that Camaro and put a new clutch in and flywheel myself and had to weld a new ear onto that 67 Muncie. Fuck.
Right.
I thought I was going to die under that car.
Right. My son's truck got a hole in the gas tank. in, like, it rusted a hole in the
just
gas
replace
tank.
Replace the gas tank, you tight ass.
That's what. So that's what we did.
Yeah,
we did.
Oh, okay.
But
I thought you were going to tell me you JV Weld puttied the motherfucker back.
Well,
together.
I mean, we were contemplating it for a minute because he's broke and the truck's not worth much, and you know he's trying to, like, again, wealthy people spend money to save time. Poor people spend time to save money. So he's looking for, like, he has the time. He doesn't have the money.
Yeah, he has nothing but time.
Right, right. And
so
we were
over to the house.
We were looking at options for all of that. And what we ended up with, you know, we found that you can get a new tank and everything for like $300. New tank and fuel pump already installed for $300.
And just drop it in, yeah.
Well, it's not a simple thing of just dropping it in.
I mean, he doesn't have to, it's not a lot of thinking.
Yeah.
It's just time to get the bed off and all that kind
of
stuff.
And so we did that on Saturday.
I'm assuming you had to pull the bed.
No, we did it without pulling the bed.
Ugh.
Yeah.
She just brought it over. We could have just jacked it up into the rafters and pulled the bed off.
I don't know if that bed will come off. That truck is so rusty. We did it without pulling the bed. So,
we're getting way off topic, but yeah.
But it came to one of those things of Mason's like, he's choosing that he can't afford the gas tank. Okay. And he's looking at like $20 for a can of, you know,
JB Weld.
JB Weld or Flex Seal or
Flex Seal.
Yeah. Was it Willie May? Billy Mays with Flex Seal.
Yeah.
Right?
He's dead, right?
I think
so. He died.
Yeah. Him and the Sham Wow guy, I think, is in prison. Cocaine or something.
Yeah, I don't know. But the Flex Seal guy, I think, had
cancer. Yeah, I think
he had cancer.
He had cancer and
died.
Poor guy. It was a pretty rough death, if I remember right. But, so Mason's thinking like $20 and I'll buy some time or whatever instead of $300, which is a good thought process. But then...
Yeah, exhaust all options.
Right.
Yeah.
But then another thing that we've been battling with his truck is incredibly poor fuel mileage. And we can't figure out why. I mean, we're talking like 6 miles to the gallon.
Oh, dude, it's a Ford.
Yeah, but it's a V6.
It's a Ford.
And so... We're like, what in the world? And so we replaced the fuel filter, was throwing some lean codes, got all that squared away, like vacuum leaks, like got it running good, and it's still getting poor gas mileage. And then we found out. Well, then we kind of came to the realization, hey.
Oh, all the fuel's leaking out. I thought you meant in addition to the fuel leak.
Well, no. That's it too, right? So part of it's the fuel's leaking out.
I could hear the guys right now. The fuel's leaking out, you dumb fucks. Of course he's getting shitty gas mileage.
So the fuel's leaking out, and I'm sure also because fuel systems tend to put themselves in a little bit of a vacuum whenever they're under use in the tank anyway.
Yeah.
I can only imagine that air was being sucked in through that tiny hole and probably aerifying the fuel and changing its
characteristics. Aspirating the fuel, making it too lean, making the car run too lean. Yeah. Is that carbureted or injected?
It's injected. But so then... We started putting all the pieces together, and it's like, okay, let's change this around to how can I afford that? Well, if the fuel tank replacement improves your gas mileage, like so basically what we came down to is if the tank's rotten enough to develop a hole on the outside of it, just imagine how much junk and shit's on the inside of it. And then there is a sock.
Fallon plugs and shit.
Well, there is a sock filter on the bottom of the fuel pump.
Yeah.
So maybe that sock filter's clogged.
Oh, was
right?
It nasty?
And his fuel gauge never worked and all of this other stuff. Okay? So like all signs were pointing to this is going to solve several problems. And so we go ahead and buy the bullet. I buy the tank.
You skipped over. He had to figure out a way to afford the tank.
So he has the money. He just doesn't want to spend it.
Okay. So you bought the tank?
Well, because I have the credit card, right?
Okay.
Like, I had to go buy it online, and we move money over from his account to mine, and that's a whole nother thing.
Because I tell
Danielle, like, hey, move, the tank was $350, move it over from Mason's account to mine, and she's like, I just feel so bad. I'm like, do it.
Yeah.
This is a lesson.
Yeah.
Do it.
Oh, God, I don't want to get a whole thing about raising kids, but we're trying to raise winners here.
Right, we're trying to raise winners, not somebody that's going to live in my basement forever.
Yeah, Layla, the other day, she goes, her and Janine go shopping, right? And Janine is you think I'm tight?
Yeah.
That bitch is tight, okay? Yeah. I mean tight. And Layla's like, well, I want this shirt and these pants and this blah, 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 and, you know, and everything. And she has money. She's got like $800. She's 12 years old. Yeah. And they get home, same thing. Oh, well, I'm like, no, I'm going downstairs to the safe. I'm taking that $78 out. I said, babe, we're trying to, like, we're teaching her what to do when she gets older.
Yeah.
Now, in fairness, I will go, I put it in another account.
Yeah.
That maybe someday I'll just give to her or whatever. But we're trying to learn here, people. Yeah. Like, come on.
Right. Yeah. And maybe that becomes a college fund account or and maybe not college, but
I'm thinking
of secondary education of some kind.
I think I'm just going to put it in the brokerage account. And then as I pay for her college and things she's short for, it'll just come out of there. But
Or if she decides to be an entrepreneur and not go to college, then hey, there's some seed money. And it's your own money.
God, she's trying to freaking... She wants to be a veterinarian.
Yeah.
She's still every...
Going to go to MU.
Don't say things like... I mean, I would be more than happy to pay for it. How about that?
Yeah.
I would be extremely proud.
So, we get to the point where Mason says, okay, I guess I have to afford it. And now it makes sense. And he understands, okay, how can I afford it? Well... Right now, your truck's getting 8 miles to the gallon, and it's leaking fuel everywhere it goes. Yeah. Like, when you leave, go look at my driveway, and you'll see
I've seen it.
The oily residue.
I wasn't going to say anything. Yeah. I figured that's what it was.
Yep. And so, eventually, it's actually cheaper to replace the tank than to keep getting the shitty gas mileage, right?
Yeah, over time.
And then it's going to get, it's going to run better. It's not going to leak fuel and everything else. Okay, cool. So, now we know how I can afford it. And so, he buys it. And
to roll it to business too, he's never called me and asked if he could mow my yard. Hey Dave, if I mowed it, I could do it for this. Would you maybe want to do it one time?
Right. Right.
Like no, he knows. Exhaust all options.
Yeah, he knows. He knows all of that. He'll even push back on customers to say they don't need a mowing today, and he'll be like, I drove by and you do. Like So
your yard looks like shit.
Yeah. And so then this is where the setbacks come in. Tank shows up. Cool. We open it up. The box got a little fucked up, right?
Is it plastic or aluminum? Or not aluminum, galvanized?
It's a steel tank.
Steel tank.
Or galvanized or whatever. But the box that it got delivered in was all kinds of rubbished, right?
Maybe they're coated steel. I don't know.
But
continue.
And so then we find a bag of parts in there, and the bag's ripped open. And I find one tiny little bolt.
Send that bitch
like
back.
In the bottom of the cardboard box. And I'm like, well, shit, I hope we got everything. We don't know, right? Here's an unknown hurdle.
Mm.
So then we start trying to get the old tank off, and we only had to pull one strap because one strap was rotted through. And that's apparently there was a recall on these trucks where the fuel tank straps. Well,
that
rub.
Truck is also from like 1993.
It's.
What
it's,
year is it?
It's an 02.
Okay.
But still. Yeah, it's 22 years old.
Yeah, it's old as shit.
So we start working on all this stuff, and then we did notice when we got the new tank out, it's got three extra holes in the top. And we're like, fuel filler and vent.
That's a combo, right?
Well, you got two holes there. You got a fuel filler and a vent. Got it. Cool. And then you got a fuel pump. Well, this thing's got three other holes in the top. And we're like, what the fuck goes to all these? We didn't know, right? And so we dropped the old tank, and sure enough, there's three extra ports on the top of the old tank, and there's little fittings on there for extra vents. And then one of them has a fuel tank pressure sensor in it. It measures the air pressure in the fuel tank, okay?
To allow air out on hot days?
Something about on the EVAP system. I don't know.
Okay.
But
we're getting a whole lesson here.
Anyway, so I'm like, okay, we'll just move these fittings over, right? Well, they're plastic.
Oh, fuck.
And they drop in and turn 90 degrees and lock into place. It's like a twist lock thing, and they have an O-ring.
Do you know what that ethanol does to plastic?
Oh, right. Yeah, and so the sensor is about the size of a golf ball, and it goes into the top of the tank, and then it's connected to an actual electronic piece by a piece of plastic that's about as big as a pencil. And your only way to get that out is to grab the top electronic piece and turn. You cannot grab the lower piece. It's too recessed into the tank.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think happens to
that
22-year-old
right
plastic shaft in between the two, right? Snaps in half.
Yeah.
Crap. There's a setback.
There's $94.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
Was it $94?
It was $89. Yeah. Plus tax is $94.
Dude, I'm telling you, car parts are killing us.
So then, as we're pulling the tank, we start realizing these other things are vent lines. Okay, cool. Now the vent lines are all rotted. Right? What does fuel do to rubber over time? It rots it. And so these...
Your light went
weird.
Out.
My light just went out.
That's all right.
These...
I'll just edit this out, dude. No one will even know.
That thing is hot as hell. I'm going to say it overheated. Oh, no. There we go. The plug came off.
Okay. Anyway, the so these rubber lines were they're like
gone.
Yeah, you touch them and your hand's black and it's just leaving particles everywhere. And the fuel filler neck, the rubber that goes from the fuel filler down
sure
to the tank,
fucked.
It was like we had to cut it off. It was so dry rotted. Yeah. It was cracking as we were trying to pull it off. And so it's like, all right, setback. This isn't just a direct tank swap. Now we got to go to the store and we got to hope we can find the sensor. We didn't even know what the sensor is at that point.
I'm sure O'Reilly's probably had it.
And then we got to find all these other tubes and everything else. And so we go to O'Reilly's. They have almost nothing for us.
Bummer.
We did get some fuel.
You go to AutoZone? And
well, we did get some fuel rated vent line.
Okay.
And then we go down to AutoZone and AutoZone gets us all set up with everything we need and everything else.
Nice.
It's another $200.
Woo!
For the sensor and the tubes.
Don't take this the wrong way. But he's kind of a crybaby. I bet he was bitching and moaning the whole fucking time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is blue. Oh, I could sense it.
Yep. But
he's young. Yeah, you know.
But we stay the course. We get it all done. And we got it all done Saturday. He hasn't had really a chance to go drive it much and see how well it performs. But now when he turns on the key, he can hear the fuel prime, which he's never heard before.
Yeah.
He can hear it in the engine, which he's never heard before, and he hears the fuel pump in the tank, which he's never heard before.
I mean, realistically, I know I was giving you shit. That thing should be getting 20 miles the gallon.
It should.
Yeah.
Right. Not 8, right? Now, he never does take it on the highway or hardly ever, so like
no,
it probably won't get 20, but it should get 13 to 15.
Oh, he should be getting 15 easy.
Yeah.
Through around town.
And so I know this was a long-winded story, but like it's your human nature to say, like, I can't afford that, because that's the easy way out, and we're built to be drawn to comfort. But if you rewire your brain to say, how can I afford it, and at least understand the uncomfortableness that you'll have to endure to afford the thing, and then you make a choice, I don't want to afford it, right? So
yeah, don't use it as an excuse to not do the math and not figure out a way.
Right.
Figure out the fucking way, and then if you're like, okay, that actually puts me in a bad situation, and then you don't decide to do it, it's not because you were lazy.
Right.
It's not because you didn't desire it. It was because you made a well-informed decision.
Right.
Probably the right one.
And so I'm going to wrap this up by getting back to where we started, and that is this gentleman out in Los Angeles who was one day dreaming of being able to wrap a truck, right? And like, let's just say a truck wraps $5,000. Okay. They're 5 to 8, but let's just say it's 5. Like, I've seen them done for as low as 3, 2.
Yeah.
So let's just say it's 5. Okay. Now we understand what it is. How can I afford it? How can I come up with $5,000? Well, if my business has paid its bills for the last 3 years off of whatever revenue it's making, okay, let's just say my business is doing $20,000 a month in revenue and it's paying its bills and it's having a little money left over to pay me. Cool. If I find a way to increase top line revenue without increasing my overhead expenses, then all gross profit from that revenue turns into net profit. Okay. So,
yes,
we just use round numbers here. Let's say I'm paying myself $100,000 a year. That's $8,300 a month. Okay. Let's say my business overhead expenses is $5,000 a month. Okay. So we take my 83 and my 5.
Yeah.
And now I'm at 13.3.
Yep.
Okay. My business has to, in most plumbing businesses, do about a 50% gross profit. Okay. So top line revenue minus material, minus whatever you had to pay to install that material. Subcontractors,
yeah.
Employees, whatever the case may be.
Yes. Okay?
So 13.3 is my overhead expenses. That covers my pay and the business overhead. So what that means is that I have to do, on average, $26,000 in sales every month, to get 13.3 in gross profit. And then from that 13.3 in gross profit, I pay my $5,000 in overhead and I pay myself the $8,300 a month And so we're good. But now the business is back out of money. We start again at zero next month.
Yeah, that's okay? Your break-even number.
That's your break-even number, yeah. Right? So how can I afford the truck wrap? Well, if 26.6 covers my overhead and pays my bills, then any top-line revenue over 26.6, the gross profit from that goes straight to net profit,
it's
right?
Profit.
So that's if I can do 36.6 this month, then I will most likely have an extra $5,000 in net profit to spend on whatever I want to spend it on, like a truck wrap. And so then I've reverse engineered the money. So now I usually do 26.6. This month I got to do 36.6. How can I do 36.6? And there's many ways to increase your monthly sales by 10 grand. Many, many, many ways. You can add better options to what you're giving your customers. You can go out and try to find more customers. You can go door to door. You can knock the doors of the neighbors that you're getting ready to work on and say, hey, I'm going to be working over here for the next few days. Here's my card. If my truck's in your way at all, let me know. Like, I want to make you happy too. Yeah. Like, there's plenty of ways to get in front of other people's view.
I think to add something to that, I think people undervalue the psychological importance of writing down what it's going to take to get something.
Yeah.
You were doing that in your head. People that are listening aren't writing this stuff down. If you have a problem with raising money or getting to a certain goal and you literally write that out and see, okay, I need $6,000. Okay. If I divide that by three over 3 months, that's $2,000 more a month.
Mm-hmm.
If I break that down by 20 working days, that's what? Nothing.
Right.
It's nothing. I literally have to take and make minimal effort to reach that goal.
Yeah.
And I think people undervalue the fact that when you do that, you write it out and then you see it and it becomes visual, you're like, oh, that's actually obtainable. I can do that instead of wasting a lot of time just thinking about it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I think people, they just, if you sat down and you ran the numbers and you did the math, you'd be surprised at how many things you can accomplish.
Right.
Or how many goals you can meet.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. And a lot of people, we've said this before on the show, they way overestimate what you can do in a year, but they way underestimate what you can do in five. Okay? And
yes.
In other words, people think they're going to start their business and within a year they're going to have five trucks on the road. And then they hope to one day have 20 trucks on the road. Well, having five trucks, going from zero to five trucks in a year,
whew,
pretty hard. But getting to 20 trucks is just a matter of sticking with the process. Staying, you know, it's a war of attrition at that point.
A war of attrition is a great way to say it.
So success in business is not about how much pain you can endure. It's about how long you can endure the pain.
Yeah. Time plus effort.
Exactly.
Equals success.
Right. And so for all those new guys that are listening to this show and you're either getting ready to start or have just started and you're stuck in that one truck mentality, break it down and get the words out of your mouth, I can't afford that, and start instead saying, how can I afford that? And you'll realize you have a choice in your own destiny. The moment you say, how can I afford that? Well, I'd have to work Saturdays for a little while. I'd have to pick up an extra call every day of the week and all this. Well, now you know what it would take to afford it. And now it's a choice, yeah, rather than just a blind excuse of can't afford it.
Yeah, it's not, I'll have to work Saturdays. It's, I don't want to work Saturdays.
Right. When I started my company,
what do you want?
I was working 10-hour days, 6 days a week, because I had a goal to pay off my startup funds that I borrowed from myself in 3 months. I actually had a goal to pay it off in six. And I was like, I could probably do it in three if I hustle. And so 1 month in, I was a third of the way to paying off the goal. And I had realized, okay, this is hard work. This is exhausting.
I can do it, though.
But I've proven to myself I can do it. And so now if I don't do it, it's a choice, because I know exactly what it takes to do it, right? And once you start realizing that the circle of influence and the fact that you have a choice in the outcome of your day, your week, your month, and everything. Sounded like a tornado siren.
Yeah. I was like, that's weird.
It's a vacuum.
Yeah, I hear it.
Once you realize that you have a choice in the circle of influence and you can influence the things inside of that circle, then great. Stop standing in the circle looking at all the things you can't influence and using that as an excuse.
Yeah.
Because that will get you nowhere. And that doesn't gain respect with your peers. That doesn't gain respect with your customers. That doesn't gain respect with your employees. Anything. What gains respect is taking massive accountability for things.
What?
Would you believe...
Why are you looking at me so weird?
So, in football, if a team got over 500 yards of offense, a team scored 42 points, they had two receivers with over 100 yards of receiving yards, and they returned a kick for a touchdown in a game, would you expect that team to win that game?
Yeah, are you talking Bears-Falcons?
Bears-Bengals.
Bears-Bengals.
Okay.
Yeah. That was crazy.
The Bears lost, or the Bengals lost to the Bears 42-7. Now, this happens. It's football, right? These are two professional teams. Any given Sunday, you never know who's going to win.
What was the score?
It's 42-47.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Okay. A combined 1,000 yards,
dude,
in the game.
Do you know how bad I feel about myself when Joe Flacco throws for 478 yards or
right.
some shit? Like, that motherfucker can't walk. He's older than I am, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He doesn't even smile when he wins the game. He's just like, see you next practice.
He's just
a machine.
It makes me feel... He's not great, but it makes me feel like such a shitty person.
Yep.
Like, just damn.
So, there. I was watching a post-game press conference or press interview with Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase is not a good leader.
No, he's a piece of shit.
He is a royal piece of
shit. He's a piece of shit, yeah.
He's basically like, how many more touchdowns do I got to do? Like, come on, what the fuck? Our defense is shit, right?
No, and it's good leaders say, we've got to do better.
They take accountability, circle of influence.
If I would have scored one more touchdown.
Exactly.
Even if that's almost completely impossible, that's what good leaders do.
I can guarantee you. So Mahomes had statistically the worst game of his NFL career on Sunday.
Dude, he is sucking the big one.
Yeah. Statistically the worst game, and he still lost. Like, they only lost by 7, right?
Hey, shout out to Zach Stewart.
Yeah.
He's one of our members. He's a Buffalo fan.
Yep.
So,
and so,
good for him.
But I can guarantee you, if they interviewed Mahomes in place of T. Higgins on that Cincinnati loss.
I thought you said Ja'Marr Chase.
Ja'Marr Chase, I'm sorry.
Yeah, T. Higgins is a good dude, I think.
Yeah, T. Higgins is good.
Yeah.
But if they interviewed Mahomes in that same predicament, Mahomes would have said something like, yeah, I probably could have gotten my throws a little bit more accurate. There was one that I overthrew that could have gone for big yards. I probably could have gotten some more points on the board to help cover some obvious deficiencies we have in other places.
Yeah.
Right? That is a very respectful way to recognize the problem without blaming the loss on the problem and to take accountability for circle of influence. What could Mahomes have done to change the outcome of the game? Remember that Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl that they lost? Mahomes has that iconic throw.
Oh, yeah, to the Patriots.
Where he's like horizontal 1 foot off the ground and he hits the receiver in the body.
Oh, it wasn't Super Bowl. That was the AFC Championship.
Was it AFC Championship?
I think that's what you're thinking of.
They interviewed Mahomes after that game.
I shouldn't have made that throw.
Yes.
I think he said I shouldn't have made that throw.
No, he's all like, I could have made better throws and all. Like, yeah. This was a time where our receivers were like, every ball was going through the hands of the receiver.
Yeah.
Right? And Mahomes is still saying, I could throw the ball better. I could have led him better and it wouldn't have gone through his hands. It would have been out in front of him or whatever. That's what winners do. And that's why they win, is because they recognize that they are the solution. They get rid of everything outside of the circle of influence and they only focus on the things they can control.
Well, and they don't let the things on the outside of the circle be excuses for why it can't be done.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. So,
an easy way to say it.
Yeah. So as you're growing through business, recognize all of that stuff. Recognize the circle of influence. Recognize the three-legged stool. change your vocabulary from I can't afford that to how can I afford that? And you will get put through the system much faster. You will grow quicker. It will not be without headaches. If anything, it'll probably have more headaches, because the more motion you do, the more problems you're going to find.
Yep.
But
that just happens, though. That's
part of why we have trade wins, is to fail faster.
Well, and let's be honest. No part of success doesn't have its own internal failures.
Yeah.
It's just how do you handle them and how do you move past it.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody wants success until they see the recipe.
Yeah. And you know what? It's a motherfucker sometimes.
Yep. Until they see the invoice. Yeah. They see what's on
until they see the invoice. That's a great way to say it, buddy.
Yep. So, all right, guys. Until next time, we will see you later.
See you.